You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be here every week and tell your friends about it. Wow, the NFL is in the news, and a particular NFL player, man, he's made headlines. Hold on. Don't turn me off here. You're not listening to an old episode of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I know it's not football season. But nonetheless, an NFL player, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker, has made a lot of news recently. Butker is very outspoken about his pro-life and pro-family views. And these beliefs about life, family, marriage are not only views that his Catholic faith, this is really, I just find it kind of funny. The NFL's chief diversity and inclusion officer issued a statement stressing that Butker was not representing the views of the NFL during this speech. Well, of course he wasn't. Butker wasn't wearing his NFL uniform. He didn't have a helmet on. He didn't give the speech on a football field. He didn't give it to an audience that might be very well offended by it. Nobody hearing that speech at this Catholic school would have thought, wow, I didn't know the NFL thought this. Nobody would have thought that. He was giving his views on some issues that are being hotly debated in America right now, although they weren't always hotly debated. They were used in our past. There was pretty much a consensus about these things. But anyway, they sent the head of diversity inclusion out to assure everybody that the NFL did not share his views on these issues. Now, you see, why would they do that? Well, because to the far-left progressives in the head office of the National Football League, the views that he expressed are radioactive. They didn't want to be associated with those views. And by the way, apparently the NFL's commitment to inclusion doesn't include those with conservative Christian views. When all this started breaking in the news, I couldn't help but recall another controversial NFL player, Colin Kaepernick. You remember him. He was very left-wing and very anti-American. But he just didn't go to audiences that were left-wing and anti-American and speak to them. No, no. He expressed his views on the NFL playing fields. I mean, in front of hundreds of thousands of fans. He would disrespect the flag. He would disrespect the national anthem. By extension, he was offending millions of American veterans who love to watch NFL football games. But the NFL never denounced Kaepernick for his anti-Americanism. No, they ran to a microphone and lectured us about how he had freedom of speech. Very telling, I think, the double standard that you see there. But look, as I've often said, for the left, if they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. So what I'd like to do today, I can't play the whole speech for you, but maybe you've heard it was really controversial and he said things about women and he attacked the president and, you know, on and on it goes. And you might think, boy, this guy sounds like some sort of an extremist or something. I wonder what's going on. Well, what he said, I'm going to pretty well guess that 99% of you will go, wow, I wish I had said that. Let's begin, because he begins really early in his speech. And maybe, you know, maybe this was ill-conceived or not, but he is Catholic, as I said, and our president describes himself as a devout Catholic. And President Biden did something that Harrison Butker was really offended by. Listen to this.
Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice.
Okay, well, look, I agree. In fact, I've written about this. I may even have talked about it on one of our times together on the podcast. I mean, how in the world does a devout Catholic, that's what he says he is, how can I tell what's in his heart? He says he's a devout Catholic. He's president of the United States. He spends an incredible amount of time promoting abortion. He wants you to pay for abortion. He favors abortion all 9 months of the pregnancy. He's trying to force Christian doctors to perform abortions. And at a pro-abortion rally, he gives the sign of the cross. I mean, I looked up at the sky. I thought, we're going to see a lightning bolt come out of the sky here. This makes no sense. It was deeply offensive to the people that saw it, including millions of people that aren't Catholic, because he was giving a sign, a symbolic indication of the person Jesus Christ. And he was doing that at an event promoting death. So Harrison Bucker, hey, that was a long field goal or something he just kicked, because I think millions of Americans agree with him. Well, then he goes on to comment about a tendency, and in this case, because he's Catholic, he was talking about a tendency in the Catholic Church, but I've talked about it often, as has Dr. Dobson and the whole JDFI team, about it also taking place among Protestants, the evangelicals, a lot of different religious faiths that share a belief in the Bible and in the Word of God. And yet, there seems to be a hesitancy to be, well, for lack of a better word, confrontational. Here's what Harrison Bucker said about that.
These are the sorts of things we are told in polite society to not bring up. You know, the difficult and unpleasant things. But if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice.
Church of Nice. Again, I wish I had said that. That is what's coming across. You know, there are a lot of people today, and maybe it's out of fear, and I'm talking about our leaders, pastors, priests, others that stand at the front of the church. They're supposed to be our leaders. They're supposed to tell us what to do in a culture that's increasingly hostile to godly views, godly values. And instead, it looks like what they do is to look at the headlines of the big controversies of the day, many of them about moral questions, and they say to themselves, wow, better stay away from that this Sunday. Look, to me, this unwillingness to address hot subjects, which end up being the most important subjects, is right there in the category of pastors in the 1850s who would not preach about the evil of slavery. Because if they did that, hey, the local slave owner might walk out of the church and take his tithe with him. Man, oh man, really? You're a representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're worried about offending a slave owner? That's what many churches did in the 1850s. And I can point to a lot of issues today where we're doing the same thing. Pastor, do you speak, of course, about the sanctity of life? Well, Gary, I agree with you on the sanctity of life, but I wouldn't want to offend somebody that had an abortion. The whole gospel of Jesus Christ is an offense to those who are living outside of God's word. If you are afraid to offend, then the gospel of Jesus Christ is being watered down to something that will not matter at this moment in history. And this NFL kicker, in just a few sentences, summarized it and said, you know what? Church of Nice isn't going to be a winner. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker then really walked into a minefield. This gets very emotional. He was emotional. The audience reacted to it in a very emotional way. But what he wanted to address was the role of his wife in his life, how his wife had made what he was doing professionally possible. But he also wanted to elevate what, you know, in the past we didn't have to elevate in America because everybody agreed with it. And that was this idea that being a homemaker and a mother are extraordinarily important things. Women don't get enough credit for it, but without those jobs being filled, we're in big trouble. What is that? There's an old saying, you know, whoever rocks the cradle rules the world. It has been left to women often to put the most hours into raising children. Good husbands come alongside of them. But today, a lot of two-income families, sometimes that's because of necessity. But Butker wants to take this on. And listen carefully, because I found it beautiful. And this is an NFL player. He gets a little bit emotional, as I said. Let's hear how he puts this.
I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. She's a primary educator to our children. She's the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father. She's the person that knows me best at my core, and it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation.
Well, you can pretty well guess how the feminists reacted to that. Not happy. And they said so, and there were all kinds of efforts to cancel him. Literally, there were calls for the Kansas City Chiefs to fire him. One leading feminist, to put a little bit of icing on that cake, said, fire him and replace him with a female place kicker. Oh, come on. I mean, I think there might be one or two young women who are kicking or have kicked for college football teams. Don't believe there's any professional NFL female place kickers. But what is even the point? That maybe you can find a woman that can really kick a good 50 or 60 yards or whatever, and it somehow that undermines the point that he's making about how important a mother is to bringing children into the world, raising those children, keeping a good household. Now, look, for those concerned about double standards, Butker later addresses the requirements, the obligations of men, so hold on a little bit. The next thing that I think was very interesting, you know, I've been going around using this phrase, what time is it? Do you know what time it is? And people look at me and they look at their watch. Well, it's no, I'm not talking about that time. I'm talking about what is the time? What is the age we're living in? Is it the 1950s? I like Ike. You know, do we agree on a whole bunch of things? There's a lot of, you know, consensus around, no, we're not living during a time like that. In fact, these are not in any way, shape, or form normal times. And they require us to get out of our comfort zone if, as Christians, we're going to have any impact on the things that are making this a very disturbing time. You know, 3/4 of the country think we're headed in the wrong direction. So people are seeing something that really bothers them. Listen to how he talks about this.
As a man who gets a lot of praise and has been given a platform to speak to audiences like this one today, I pray that I always use my voice for God and not for myself. Everything I am saying to you is not from a place of wisdom, but rather a place of experience. I am hopeful that these words will be seen as those from a man not much older than you, who feels it is imperative that this class, this generation, and this time in our society must stop pretending that the things we see around us are normal.
And this time in our society, we must stop pretending that the things we see around us are normal. There it is, right there. These are not normal times. Up is down is up, right is wrong is right, truth are lies are truth. We're told men can be women can be men. We're told we don't know when a life begins. When we figured that out, you know, in the 1800s, there's just all sorts of things being rammed down our throats that just aren't true. And if you disagree, we've all seen it. In fact, there was an effort to do it to him. You're canceled. You're mocked. You're punished. You might lose your job. You're harassed. The list goes, hey, you could end up in prison in some cases. This is not normal. This is not the way it has been in America all the decades. This is new, and it's bad. And if it's not confronted, it's going to destroy us. Why do we have to get this message from an NFL player? Why aren't you hearing this every Sunday when you walk into the church? Well, I said that he addresses the responsibilities of men. And, you know, there's a big effort right now to make normal manliness out to be evil. There's been studies done about things that boys do. They've got more energy. They tend to act up a little bit more. They're more physical. They're louder in many cases and so forth. These things, which have been descriptions of boys for all of the history of mankind, are now being labeled illnesses. We're being told, oh, you need to put your son on medications to try to make him a walking zombie so he doesn't be too loud, too aggressive. This is not good stuff. So he then talks about what it is, and he refers to the men in the audience as the gentlemen here today. Listen to this.
To the gentlemen here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men.
I thought that was a really strong description of what manliness and masculinity are. Now, masculinity is not, you know, if somebody looks at you crossways, give him a punch in the nose. That's not what he's talking about. Nobody's saying that's manly or masculine. But, you know, sitting around afraid of challenges, not wanting to, you know, get in a game where you might fall and scrape your knee, or being treated like, you know, you need to be rushed to the hospital because you might have dislocated your pinky or whatever. That's not how you raise strong boys either. And I can tell you, my friends, there are countries all over the world, communist China, for example, Iran, Hamas in Gaza, they're teaching their little boys to be killers. They're telling their little boys they're going to conquer the world. Now, we're not going to do that with our boys. Christ would not want us to turn them into killers. But we better make them courageous, and we better make them brave. And those are godly values, godly aspects of being a man, and the Bible is full of biblical heroes that exhibited those traits against incredible odds at the risk of their own deaths in order to protect the defenseless from evil forces. So who knew that an NFL player would give the diagnosis of what's going wrong in America today and then challenge the church to boldly confront these issues? This is what we've been talking about forever, and whether you like it or not, this is what we're going to be talking about the rest of this year. Anybody that would have heard this speech, if you were a pastor or a priest or some other religious leader and you heard this speech, you should have been. I hope you were inspired to take a look at the sermon this Sunday and see if you can meet the standard of an NFL player in speaking truth into a culture that is drowning in decadence. Well, thank you, my friends, for being with us at Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. God bless you all and your families, and come back next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.